and Francesca present Cinema Matrimony.
No, we're laughing because Touch That Thing Foe is awesome.
Touch That Thing Foe?
Like number four.
That is offensive.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Anyways, so we just saw...
No, do not put that on your stupid...
Anyways, we just saw The Descendants, and we're way behind the times on it. So maybe this is a podcast that more people will get to listen to because more people than usual will have seen this movie already.
Matt, our other two podcasts that we have done are way behind the times now, too.
Yeah, I know. But
so...
But they were obscure movies that not many people are going to see. And this has a big movie star in it. This has George Clooney in it. And I don't know. I kind of can't get a hold on whether people are talking about this movie or not. I don't really think people are, though. I think people outside
of... Oscar talking.
Yeah, but to me, it takes both now. To get real Oscar consideration... You have to have the critics talking and the awards people, the film nerds talking, and average Joe has to have seen it for you to really have a legit shot at an Oscar these days.
I think this
obscure
is
movies don't really win anymore.
This isn't obscure, Matt.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it is or not.
I don't think it is.
Well, our crowd, again, like Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, was an older crowd, but a pretty big crowd. For a Saturday afternoon.
Well, no, I would say not for a Saturday afternoon.
Why? Is that a busy time here?
For old people.
For old people to see movies, that's
yeah.
true. But it wasn't...
Just in general.
It was Saturday. It was an older crowd, though.
And, well, and also consider what theater we're seeing it in, too.
Yeah, we're in kind of an old...
I had a little run-in.
We're in kind of an...
In the ladies' room.
An elderly part of town here. But I guess let's just get into it. So what you're... We should establish up front, you are a well-known... opponent of Alexander Payne. You do not like Alexander Payne and his previous work, and you've seen all of his movies actually, but you do not like anything he's done, right?
I do not like his style.
Right.
The distinction must be made. It's not that I think he makes bad movies. It's that I don't like his movies. I have not enjoyed them.
Well, so what you're saying is it's not that you think he's a crap filmmaker. It's
right.
that you don't enjoy watching his movies.
Well, no, I don't enjoy it, which is not to say, I mean, it's not that I'm like against all sad or depressing movies, but I feel like his previous movies are mean-spirited.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard you say before. Not sad, but you would say they are dark in a malicious way.
Yes, and I think they're malicious towards his characters, which, again, should be distinguished from truth. Like, this is not to say that, like, I can't appreciate a dark movie. I mean, you know, young adult, I appreciated it and enjoyed that. I thought it was... But I think it was written by someone who had a little bit of sympathy for the character, and I always feel like he doesn't.
I agree
previously,
with you on young adult.
I think that this movie, I actually did like this movie, and I kind of felt like this was a kinder, gentler... Alexander Payne, and he was sympathizing with the people in his movie and the experience they were going through, as opposed to going like, these are ugly, horrible people and they deserve what's coming to them.
Well,
I think the way his other movies have kind of been.
It is certainly sympathetic to every character, including the cheating wife.
And the guy who she was cheating with. And like,
right.
I was kind of shocked, actually, because instead of
and the mean
instead
dad.
Of everybody being awful,
her dad, who's sort of a jerk at parts
well,
of the film,
of,
but
I
he's
mean,
obviously there's plenty of sympathy for him.
Yeah, but
too.
You kind of like because of the so sad scenario. I mean, even before there's sort of his like moment that makes everybody cry.
Right.
You understand where he's coming from, even when he's being an
animal. Absolutely.
He's going, you could have bought her own boat. Like, of course. That's
well,
just
he's
the
just
parent
a grieving
talking.
Parent. Yeah.
But I was very surprised because, like I said, this sort of to me feels like, you know, 180 degrees opposite of what he's done before, which is in this movie, you had to work hard to find a bad guy. Like, he kind of really humanized everyone.
Now, you may know more about this since you're more of a reader than me, but Has Alexander Payne worked with, to your knowledge, did he write all of his other movies? Like, or did he have?
I know that. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you read stuff.
I mean, you sort of get the sense. Just
he didn't write
called,
this.
Like Alexander Payne.
Yeah.
Movies. Like, I guess I've always kind of had.
Because he didn't write the story of this movie.
I feel like Sideways is maybe based on a novel too. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, I feel like in the previews with the Blind Melon song "No Rain," if you recall. Wasn't that,
now, I really...
Wasn't that the song in the Sideways preview?
I don't know. I really think that, first of all, I'm not surprised that you feel differently about this, because people who love Alexander Payne, I think in general, are saying this is not... this is like soft Alexander Payne, and they don't like it quite as much.
Well, I mean, it was still unflinching, but again, it just wasn't mean. Like, I always get...
I never thought about Schmidt was mean. I really don't... I kind of don't get where you're coming from on that one. Because I agree, Sideways is sort of a movie full of unlikable people, and I think that I actually have not seen Election, believe it or not. But
I feel like About Schmidt was more he was laughing at his characters. I've only seen that once. All
I don't
I know
think
is
he's
that
laughing
I remember
at Schmidt,
watching
though.
About Schmidt and just being like, God, this is just awful on top of awful on top of awful, and then, you know, at the 11th hour, he comes in with this like really nice moment at the. I mean, the end of the movie.
But he's...
The last, like, 30 seconds of the movie.
Like,
but I'm like, you can't just... I mean, that's practically a twist ending. Everything's
no,
been
it's
so
not.
Freaking miserable.
He's,
and this doesn't really change anything. It's just he has a nice moment after, you know, 2 hours
but
of
he's
horror.
But he's a...
This is not about Schmidt.
I know, but I'm just saying that... I see some similarities because that movie is about a guy who is very hurt and damaged and... He's a Scrooge.
I really don't remember much about the movie other than that was just my experience watching it.
He's just a very emotionally closed off guy, and he has an experience that cracks that
at the very end of the movie.
No, they're building towards it though, and he keeps sort of almost having that moment, and then he finally does have it. And what happens here again, the sort of up to the beginning of the movie, the main character. Who is Matt? I always appreciate when the male lead is named Matt in a movie.
Yeah, because it's a really obscure name.
Anyways, that he's a guy who is kind of like shut himself off and he's emotionally unaware. And then what happens basically over the course of the movie is he sort of becomes aware of his own feelings and wakes up to what's been going on the whole time anyway. And so, I mean, to me, that's where the similarity is. And I think, actually, you could say that that's sort of going on with Paul Giamatti's character in Sideways, that he's got a tendency to make these movies about people who are, you know, who have managed to ignore reality, and they're sort of, like, forced to wake up to reality in his movies and look at what's actually going on in their lives.
Well, I guess I appreciate the... Matt character more because from the, you know, beginning he's just trying to do what's best. Like, I always appreciate that in a character.
Yeah,
like,
he's well intentioned.
Even when he goes,
yeah.
You know, to confront his wife's lover, he like loses his cool, but he doesn't really like. He's not unkind.
He was never going to do anything bad or damaging. Like, he even sort of says from the get go, he's like, I really don't want to just go fight the guy and. You know, he pretty quickly comes to the determination that he wants to do what he considers to be the right thing, which is let the guy come see his wife before she dies. Even though the guy is, I would say he's the least sympathetic character because he was having an affair with this woman and didn't love her and it was just sort of a purely destructive act.
Yeah, but even, I mean, you know, Matthew Lillard, I don't know where he came from, but I mean, I know.
Yeah, that is
but,
a weird casting choice.
But he really made it a sympathetic character. Like, you kind of felt
he was sympathetic
kind of
because
like afraid that like
he made a mistake and he didn't want it to ruin his life.
Well,
that he had
and I
made
felt kind
mistake.
Of bad for you know I like during that scene I was kind of worried like oh no are they gonna like tell on him like I
right.
and he's a cuckolding jerk but I still like he played it in a you know sincere enough way that I was kind of like oh I hope they don't. Wreck his family. Like, his wife is nice and his kids are sweet. You know?
Judy Greer doing a good job.
Which, I will say though, I was kind of taken aback when they were like, oh, the hot one with the hat.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, she did look pretty and all, well, but it's just, you know, I'm so, it's so ingrained maybe they, in me from Arrested Development.
I like, think they wrote
glasses
that.
Glasses off, hair up, hair down, glasses on, lights on, lights off. If you recall.
Wait, glasses
say
back on.
To bees.
Yeah, maybe they must have written that line before they cast Judy Greer in it. No offense.
Like I said, she's like, really nice. Although
she looked nice for Judy Greer, but
I
she's
did
a,
have a dumb moment where I was like, "Oh, Anne Hesh," girl. And then I was like, "This is not
Anne Hesh."
And just for a minute, when they first showed her, that was like the name that popped in my head, and I was like, "This is not Anne Hesh, that's Judy Greer."
Judy Greer is just a little bit goofy looking. But oh, let's talk about what's her name, Secret Life of American Teenager,
Shailene Woodley or something.
Yeah. So I came into this real skeptical about it. Because she's in what appears to me to be a pretty stupid ABC Family show.
Oh, I think it is a really stupid. I don't
okay,
think
so can you confirm that that's a stupid show?
I've never watched it, but I have had the unfortunate occasion to, like, you know, be in a house where ABC Family was playing.
I really like her in this. But
your sister was watching it. There, I said it.
I really like her in this. She's a little bit dead behind the eyes sometimes. She's a little bit... like, her face doesn't quite act on the same level as her voice does. You know what I mean? But...
I mean, I think she got the job done. I don't
understand why... No, she did fine. I'm not going to nominate her for an award.
I mean, it was a good role. I will say, like...
Yes.
It was interesting because the dynamic became, like, she and her dad were kind of equals and sort of...
Yeah, that's right.
She knew the score from the get-go.
She was kind of stepping up to be the mom of the family, almost.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it was an interesting part to watch unfold. I don't quite understand why everybody thinks she, you know...
Maybe everyone's just so surprised that someone from an ABC Family show doesn't suck in this movie.
It certainly could be that.
But she... I mean, I'm with you all the way. I don't really get the hype. I think she's actually nominated for a Golden Globe. For best, like,
oh, and
best supporting actress.
Like a lock for the Oscars.
There's no way she gets a best supporting actress nomination at the Oscars.
I will be shocked
if that happens. It's a good performance, but there is nothing special about it. And she's really, she's a pretty young girl, but she's not.
Again, I think maybe people are like, oh, she went head to head with Clooney. And, you know, she did, and that is, I guess, an accomplishment to, you know, to share the screen with him and not be overpowered.
Let me say this. If this girl gets a Best Supporting Actress nomination and Anna Kendrick from 50-50 doesn't, I will be writing a letter. Okay. I'm just kidding. But I will be upset about that.
Well, 50-50, unfortunately, is not going to get the
contract. Yeah, I know it's under the radar at this point. But, yeah, I mean,
but
I kind of feel that way about this whole movie. I think it's good, but... I'm not overwhelmed by it or blown away because I don't. It's kind of like there's sort of a genre of movie that is movies about somebody's dying, and it's been done a lot. And
yeah,
this
yeah,
is kind of just another one
here.
Of them. You
no,
know,
I feel like this is because of the you know it. Instead of just someone's dying, we're sad. There was the emotions of we're angry. We're hurt.
That's really the premise of the movie.
That's the distinction, though, and that's why I think it's, you know, it's better than just a somebody's dying and we're sad movie. I kind of don't understand quite, like, I think I was starting to grasp a little bit the point of the whole land sell just because sale. I said sell. Ugh.
Ooh, gross.
Ugh.
You did the Rainbow City accent
well,
on that.
Well, but I did notice that I did it, so shut up. But the whole, I mean, I think the parallel is supposed to be when he has the moment and he says, you know, it was never our, we never owned it. It was just entrusted to us. I think it's maybe supposed to be like human life is like that. You don't own anyone's life. It's entrusted to you and you have to be able to let go. However, comma, then he ends up not letting go of the land yet. But I think the parallel is supposed to be like in this, he does have a say in it and he doesn't want to give it up, but he has to give up his wife. But that was kind of the thing. I was like, maybe that's the parallel that's supposed
to be drawn
is that you don't own, you know, you have to let go. It's not yours to have and to, you know.
Yeah, I'm missing the connection though.
That's what I'm saying. That's not the only
thing. I don't see where it fits in to it. Not that it's invalid as a part of the plot, and I think it's interesting. But I don't really... Just, the movie is called The Descendants.
Right.
And I don't really see how any of that fits in thematically to...
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe the novel, the family...
I'm sure the novel does, yeah.
Because there's all these... Like, it doesn't quite make sense to me in the movie either that there's all these, like... There's at least two instances where they kind of dwell on, like, old family pictures. And
right.
But it's not really about him and his family.
No.
Like, at all. Like, there's not really connections made with him and his family. Obviously, I'm talking about extended family. His
right.
immediate family. So maybe that's what they're talking about. Like, your loyalty shouldn't be to the... But then he... I just don't quite get...
I'm with you.
That. I mean, again, it's just an interesting if factor, but it doesn't quite...
If you're listening out there and you do get it and you understand the connection and would have like to make a relevant point about it, please email us at matt@filmnerds.com because I would like to I'd like to know what other people out there think about that aspect of the movie and how it connects.
And maybe it's not supposed to. Again, maybe that's just supposed to be another layer of like this happened at sort of the worst possible time.
Right.
He discovers his wife's having an affair after she's in a coma. He's having to make this huge land deal.
And they're slightly plot connected, but as we find out, it didn't really have anything to do with it. It was sort of a coincidence that that even happened.
Yeah.
And although I will say this, from that part of the movie, I really liked the Beau Bridges character. I thought he was pretty enjoyable in his sort of main scene where they're in the bar together.
Maybe it's supposed to be like because he doesn't sell the land, he's going to be estranged from most of his family, and it's about like the last image of the movie. Like that is his family. Like that is who
yeah.
is your family, not all the cousins that you've upset.
Well, he is definitely like
you and your two girls.
You get the sense the whole movie that he's not really very close to all those cousins, and that they're sort of like. At odds anyway. They all have their own interests, and he doesn't really consider them to be his family.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but I like the setting of it. I like that the sort of I really like the character, and I can't remember his name now, but her friend, her little guy friend.
Yeah, which again...
He's great.
That was another moment, which again, we can really... This isn't an Alexander Payne, shouldn't be attributed to this, I guess, if it was based on a novel. But that, when you finally discover, you're kind of wondering, what the heck is his daughter doing with this guy? He's such an idiot.
Yeah.
He's like, he doesn't know anything, and then you go, oh,
and then you
okay.
get it, yeah.
That's why she's found him, and they found each other. And he does sort of, too, have that moment... Where he goes, like, well, we're dealing with it by not dealing with it,
Right.
Not dealing with it, not talking about it.
They're being buds.
But, he was kind of... He was, as much as there was comic relief in this movie, I think that was sort of the role he played. But again, there was sort of an added gravitas, once he had his little speech. But still, he was an idiot. But you just kind of appreciated his presence a little
Well, he's
more.
Just emotionally, on the same level as them, basically. He's going through it with them. Well, I like George Clooney's performance. That's probably the most... That's the biggest thing I would take away from this is that I think Clooney did a good job, and I'd
Let me pick this bone, though.
I like
him. The opening shot, he's, totally gray-haired, and the rest of the movie, he's normal George Clooney, a little bit salt and pepper.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was... What the choice was
What is the opening
that.
Shot?
Well, no, the opening shot is actually of his wife, but the first shot of him... He's just sitting in the hospital. He's, looking at
oh,
the
right.
doctor or something. But his hair was, totally, Silver Fox gray. It didn't make... And I was like, oh, they went that route. And then the rest of the movie, it's not. I was confused by that.
Well...
But no, it was definitely a good turn by him. He was very average. He wasn't turning on the star charm.
No, but I like... Yet. I like seeing him play kind of, Jimmy Stewart roles. Just, nice guy, average dude, everyman roles. Because he brings something... He brings a great deal of, it's kind of a Tom Hanks role almost. In another life, that would be a Tom Hanks role.
Right.
But, and I hope he gets nominated for it, and I think he will. You're hearing a lot of that. But the rest of the movie, I would say it's good, but I can't really say I feel that strongly about it. And it seems like from a lot of the talk that it's going to get a Best Picture nomination, but I just don't. It would be hard for me to imagine because the way the system works now, right? You only get nominated for Best Picture if a certain number of people actually vote you their favorite, like their number one best movie of the year.
Right.
So it's hard for me to imagine a lot of people saying, no, The Descendants is definitely the best movie of the year. You know, I can see a lot of people saying it's like my two or three, but not. I'd be interested to hear somebody's opinion on it that thought that that was the best movie of the year, because it just doesn't really blow me away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know.
You liked it though, and I did too.
I was pleasantly, well, I shouldn't say surprised. I mean, I had people tell me if you don't like Alexander Payne, you'll like this. So
right.
I don't like Alexander Payne, and I like this. There it is.
Well, all right then.
There it is.
Well, so there's that. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening on this. And
should be noted that we did both cry like little girls.
Well, you cried more like a little girl. I got a little. It was a little dusty in the theater.
Wasn't that right?
But I was just going to tell everybody we've got after a little bit of a delay here for technical reasons, we have. If you're listening to this and you haven't heard our podcasts for Young Adult and Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, you should be able to find those on filmnerds.com, and they'll probably be posted on al.com as well at some point. And also, as this podcast is being recorded, I was the guest host along with Corey for Aspect Radio last week, so you can hear me on there. Look for that on aspectradio.net. And Francesca, thank you again for joining me.
I don't really have a choice.
Again, you are in the car with me.
That's
so,
right.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.